Great day today. Great day. We'll be starting in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. That's in the Old Testament. If you're getting to know your way around, probably if you open your Bible right up to the middle, you'll probably happen right upon Psalms, or somewhere close. Isaiah is a couple of books later. So just find Psalms and keep going a little bit and you'll find Isaiah. And my last message, not last week, because Brother Billy was bringing a message for us last week. For that, it was about uninstalling stress in our lives, right? How do we hit the delete button on some of the things in our lives or the way we're looking at things in our lives so we can take the stress level and start to go like this. Uninstalling stress. And there were some actual steps that we learned about how to take. But, you know, then there's the things in our lives that stress us or cause us anxiousness and fear. You got some of those things on your phone? It's like, I want to get rid of some of the stuff on my phone. So you go into applications and you're like, oh, I can't delete that. It's just there. It's part of the phone. And you can't delete everything that you might want to delete. Life's like that. There's things we can't always delete, right? And so those are the things we oftentimes are the unknown things in our lives or the things we don't understand or the things we can't control. Those are some of those uninstallable fears and anxious things. The last few messages that I've been doing, I kind of took some of my message plans that I prepared for the year and kind of set them aside because I just felt like there was some immediate needs we had to address. And probably over the last few months, I've had a few different messages where people were able to write down a response and bring it up and either put it, you know, in front of the Bible when they were going to put that under this issue or something under the belt of truth, and they were going to give that to God and put it under His truth or somehow some way to give God our first fidelity, put Him first. Or ways that somebody said, I want to begin to thrive in this area that I just haven't been thriving. So I've been kind of looking at some of the responses that people turned in. And usually when we do those things, I ask people, don't put a name on it, just put what's on your heart. But there are a number of things people talked about, things that caused them to be anxious and fearful. And I thought, you know, this is something that as we look around at our world and all the things that are going on, you know, now Turkey's all turned upside down, and our relationship with Turkey, which was a main launching point for some of the fight against ISIS. I mean, there's just China, Russia. I mean, it's just on and on it goes. Fear came up as a big issue for people, anxiousness. Fear of trusting people, fear of other people's opinions, some people-pleasing that some of us struggle with, just general worry and anxiety over life or marriage or kids, life decisions. So there's a lot of things that people have fear about. What are some of the things that are our main things in our lives today that people just, it may not be for you, but things that you see around you that people are fearful about? What are your thoughts? What are some things people are like, I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm fearful about this or that? It's just personal safety. Yeah, I mean, violence is not on the other side of the pond. we don't have ocean privilege so much anymore because it's starting to come across the ocean right here onto our own shores, whether it's terrorism or just violence right in our neighborhoods. What else? Wow, yeah. We're raising our kids up. Is it harder to raise kids than when we were growing up? It's tough. It's hard. It's hard to raise kids in today's world. Harder and harder. What else? Any other thoughts? What are the things that make people anxious about, fearful about? Yeah? I had some things, thoughts in my mind, the elections. What's going to happen next? Where's our country going? We're such a divided country. Like, what's going to happen to us in this next 4 or 5 months, the next 4 or 5 years? Yeah, it's anything else? It's on your minds? The change, the amount and the speed of change is so fast, isn't it? It's hard to keep up and wonder, where is it all going? Well, in the midst of all that, these things that we concern us and worry us, love says, do not fear. He says, don't fear. Let's stand together, and we're going to read from his word some of the things that God is going to bring us to and help us to not only to understand, but to be able to walk by faith in. Let's read together. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Next one. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Thank you, Lord God, for doing it in such a visible way, showing your love not just by words, but by literally coming, leaving eternity, leaving the oneness of the Trinity, and somehow the divine becoming human, the infinite becoming a part of the finite creation. You showed your love by coming to rescue us and redeem us. Thank you for that, Lord God. Show us, Lord God, as we are still these finite beings trying to figure out how to live life in a difficult world, how to take your promises and live them out. We need you, Holy Spirit, to do this because it's bigger than us. But thank you that you are bigger than anything in this world, and we can rest in that. Today, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak more than just information. Speak transformation. Change us, Lord. Change our hearts. Give us a gift of faith that takes us further than we've ever gone before in trusting you in this day and age. We'll thank you for doing the supernatural in us. In us. We pray it. We ask it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our Isaiah verse says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand. That picture in your mind. And says to you, do not fear. You can picture it. He takes hold of your right hand, says, don't fear, I'm with you. Just like a parent or an adult with a child. Says, don't fear, I'm with you. It tells us something of God, doesn't it? Tells us he's a good, good father, as that song we learned recently says. He's a good, good father who's promised to walk with us through the fearful things of life. That was one of the first realities when I first put my faith in Christ, was that, oh, I don't have to do this alone? It was like, bam, God Almighty, the God of the universe, the God that created everything, wants to walk with me? I mean, it was just I had gone to church all my life. I didn't have that concept of him in my mind until the Holy Spirit brought me into relationship with him and opened my eyes to that. And as I was preparing, it made me think of something that happened to me. When I was going to school, I'm the youngest. I'm the baby of the family. So I got two older brothers and an older sister. And I remember I was going to first grade. And of course, you know, I'd been to kindergarten, but this was a whole new school, and you know, I was pretty shy. As a kid, I was pretty shy. And so my sister, my mom, apparently sent me to school on my first day of school with my older sister. And I remember her walking with me to school. My memory is usually not all that great. I've probably forgotten 90% of my life, but I remember that. I remember walking to school and my sister walking along with me. And I was able to do what I would have been too scared to do by myself. But I had somebody to walk with me. She was older, right? She'd been there. She'd already done this. She was probably three grades older than me, so she was an old hand at the school stuff. And she walked me there, unsure about what was coming. Didn't really understand what I was going to experience here. It was out of my control. I'm just like, I got to go to school. I don't want to go to school. But they're making me go to school. So, you know, that's the kind of the mindset that we can be in these fearful places. And that's where I was as a child. But my sister said, much like God does, you know, don't fear. I'm here. We'll get it done together. And we did. And I survived my first day of first grade. As far as I know, I did. I mean, I graduated, right? So apparently I must have gone through with it. And that's the heart of our good and perfect Father. That's his heart. He says, don't worry. I'm with you. Just let me take your hand, and I'll walk with you through this. That's what the perfect Father does. And it's a beautiful thing. It tells us something of God, this verse does. But it also tells us something about life, too. Because just because God doesn't take away a problem, and some people struggle with this, it doesn't mean that he's unkind or that he doesn't exist just because he didn't take the problem away. The way some people look at God as, well, if God was really God, then he'd take away this problem. He wouldn't let this happen in my life, or a good God wouldn't let children starve. That's kind of the, you know, if God was really there and he was really good, he wouldn't let people go through hurt. But, you know, you would put that same thing on my mom or my sister. Well, if they really cared about me when I was at that tender age of 6 years old, they wouldn't have made me do that, because it was hard and it was uncomfortable and I didn't like it. And so they must have been really mean to make me go through a trial. Well, no, it was part of life, right? I had to go to school. And they didn't take that away from my life. They walked with me through it. And it also doesn't mean, well, if I really had a mother back then, she certainly wouldn't have forced me to go to first grade, so she must not have existed. Because if God really did exist, certainly God wouldn't have let me go through that trial of the first day of first grade. Well, my mother and my sister did exist. They still do. And they did it because it was one of the things of life that I had to walk through. It doesn't mean they didn't exist so that they were unkind. It just means that that was part of life. And in their goodness, go to the next slide there. Just because he doesn't take the problem away, it just means that he said he would walk with us through it and not necessarily take it away. That's God's response to problems. Sometimes our response is, God, just take it away. Or if you were real, then you'd take this away. And since you haven't taken this away, then you must not be real. But that doesn't really makes sense when we think about Scripture told us, and pretty clear, Jesus did, that in this world you'll have trials. He has not promised to take all of our troubles away, but he has promised to walk with us through them. Our job as my job was in that tender age of 6 years old, was I needed to trust my mother. It was good for me to go to first grade, even though it was hard. I needed to trust that my sister, who had done this before, was going to help me out. She was going to help me through this. My job was to not be prideful, say, I don't need any help. I'll do this myself. Sometimes we can do that, right? I needed to say, all right, I'll take the help. I'll take the help. I'll take your hand. You can hold my right hand, and I'll walk with you. And the last thing I need to do is not run, right? That's something we used to do when I was a kid, all you young children. When we went to the doctor when I was a kid, you know what that meant? You got a shot. It was about guaranteed. That's what we call Dr. Man, the shot doctor, because if you were going to the doctor, you were getting a shot, and that was just the way it was. And some of, not me, but I think one of my brothers and sisters made a run for the parking lot, and I think made it that far. But ultimately, you know, had to get brought back in and get that shot. We need to not run. Sometimes we need to just stay in the tough time and trust that God is walking us through, right? Well, going on to our next verse, and you can turn to that if you want, in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John is almost to the end of the New Testament, almost to the end, a little bit before the book of Revelations, which is the last book in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Love says to us to not fear. Love tells us, I know you're scared. And that's why I've got the little thing up there. Love says, this is God speaking. The God who created the world, the God who holds all of the universe in his hands, the God that gave us breath last night and woke us up this morning. He says, do not fear, because I'm with you. I'm with you. But there's a next step that we're taken to in that. When love says don't fear, it tells us of how to love others. It tells us how to love others. This verse starts off in 16. It says, And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We walk with God when we are put our faith in him, and he lives in us. Like I said before, it was that mind-blowing realization that God is going to walk with me through life. I don't have to walk this alone. But in the same way that God has promised to walk alongside me, he's saying also walk with others the same way that I am walking with you. The verse goes on to say, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. How is love made complete among us? It says, in this world, we're like Jesus. That's how his love is made complete. We become more, that word complete is the word tetelai. It means to be perfect or completed or fully developed or finished. So it says, this is how our love is made complete, finished, fully developed. How? Just by being like Jesus. Now, Jesus used this word once, tetelestai. It was a different form of that same word. You know where he said that? On the cross, yeah. When he said what? It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. What was finished? The redemptive work of Christ dying in our place for our sins. He said, it's finished. I've completed it. I've done the work that I was sent here to do. Now, We don't get the chance to say that in the same way that Jesus did, do we? Because are we ever a finished product here on earth? Anybody there yet? No, me neither. We're not there yet. None of us are there yet. We are all in the process. I'm in the process. That's why you have to have grace with your pastor, because he's not somebody that's made it. I am like you. In fact, I was, for the first 40 years of my life, I was out there, sitting where you are, not a pastor. I was serving God, serving in the church, just being a regular follower of Christ, trying to do what God called me to do. God decided to give me a vocational change. But guess what? I'm still the same as you. We're all still in the process of growing to become what Christ has called us and designed us to do. So we can't say to telestai, it's done, it's finished in me. No. We are becoming made complete. We are in the process of being made complete. And we do that by living our lives like Jesus. I was just talking to Bill Oliver's mom, Nancy, and her husband, Bob. Bob was in the hospital, had some really serious stuff going on over the weekend. They've got it figured out. But Nancy has a neighbor who she's talked to about her faith and shared at different times, invited her neighbor to different things. And the neighbor just kind of, listens, but kind of just blew it off, never really took it seriously, never asked anything about it, just kind of, whatever, you know. Now Nancy's walking in a time where her husband, they didn't know what was going on. He was seriously, seriously ill. And Nancy was just, the neighbor gave Nancy a ride, I think, somewhere. And was she troubled, Nancy? Sure. Her husband was seriously ill. Was she worried and concerned? Yeah. But you know what? Within that fear, she had this trust that God was in it. She had this sense, this peace, that God was still in the midst of it. And the neighbor took notice. All of a sudden, what the neighbor had been hearing about, all of a sudden, the neighbor said, wait, your husband is there and you're here, and I would not have that kind of peace. All of a sudden, ding. What the neighbor heard from her ears, she saw in Nancy's life. And she began walking it out. That's how we become more like him, and that's how we become made more complete. This verse goes on to say, there is no fear in love. It was a big thing for a while, right? No fear. Usually it was because somebody went screaming down a hill on skis or a skateboard or something like that. No fear, you know. No fear in life is a little bit different thing, and especially no fear in love, because it's not just me going down a hill. It is no fear. God's calling me to have no fear in my love for others. And how many people know that when it comes to interacting with people, sometimes you'd rather go down a hill on a skateboard than to actually have to reach out and love somebody else and expose ourselves to maybe being rejected, expose ourselves to having to give of ourselves to someone else's needs. We're more scared of that than we are doing other physically scary things. Bible says, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. When we experience the love of Christ, when we experience and understand what the cross means, that he truly died and took my sins upon himself, the innocent took the guilty's sins and paid my price for my sins. When we get that and we realize that by putting my faith and trust in Christ and making him the Lord of my life, I am free. I don't carry the guilt of my sin anymore. And I am no longer spiritually dead. I am spiritually alive. I'm no longer eternally lost. I'm eternally found. And we get that. Fear is driven out. We don't have to fear death anymore. Right? Death is overcome. I don't have to fear or worry about death. I don't have to fear and worry about some of the things that I used to fear and worry about. This verse talks about fear has to do with punishment. And that word punishment is literally what, like the eternal judgment punishment. Fear has to do with, I'm worried about what God, what when I die, what's going to happen to me? How have I lived my life? Am I going to stand before God and just, I didn't live my life for him, or I didn't live it well enough, or whatever it might be. That's the kind of punishment that's talking about. But love drives out that fear. Because once I put my faith in Christ and I really grasp and understand God's love for me, I don't worry about that anymore. I don't worry about what's going to happen when I die, because I know that I know that I know I'm forgiven. I am no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. It's done. It's a done deal. It's settled in Christ. Love, experiencing that love means I'm forgiven. I have no fear. I have no guilt over my sin. Love means it's a done deal. And that perfect love drives it out of our lives. And that causes me now to be able to love with a different kind of love. Why? Because he first loved us. He showed me that love. We can love with a different kind of power in our lives, not because of our own abilities, not because I'm somehow such a great person. There are many, many times as a believer, God pushes me and calls me to love somebody in ways that are beyond what I'm able, what I would be able to do. But because I walk by faith and I know that God's love was made real in me and his forgiveness for me, I'll walk in what he's done for me and give it to somebody else. That takes me to places I would never be able to go on my own had not Christ shown his love for me first. So as I have loved, Jesus said, love as I've loved you. When I think about how Christ has loved me, all right, that sets the bar higher. I can love more than I would normally love. It says, forgive as I have forgiven you. Right? Isn't those Jesus' words? As I have forgiven you, so you must forgive others. All right. I can't believe what that person did to me. I'm angry at that person. I can't believe that. And yet, I know if God looked at my life and forgave me, I can forgive this person. Biggest picture, when Jesus was in the garden, ready to go to the cross, what was he saying? Father, if there's any way to take this cup from me, please take this cup, but yet, what? Not my will. Not my will, Father. Did he just say that? Okay, all right, God, not my will, but yours be done. How does Scripture describe that prayer time that Jesus had? Huh? Yeah, he was sweating like great drops of blood. He anguished, he labored over this prayer. God, if there's any other way, not just the physical pain, but God, the guilt of every murderer, tyrant, dictator, terrorist, rapist, child molester, thief on earth, past, present, and future, God, their guilt's going to go on me. God, if there's any other way, God, please, if there's any other way, but Father, not my will, Lord, your will be done. That's powerful. That's the kind of love that was showed to us and kind of love that we show to others. People that are difficult to love, this is when we say, I will not fear, but I will love. Love says, do not fear. Love says, love in spite of your fear. People that look different than you and I, people that live different than you and I, people that believe differently than you and I. It's a lot. We are in a nation so divided in just 10 different ways people are divided, and probably 10 times more than that. But when others are difficult to love, difficult to forgive, difficult to do what Jesus did. Remember, he got down, washed their feet, served. When it's hard to serve people, he says, I will not fear. I love. God, you're going to give me the power to disagree with them and still love them. In those not my will moments of life, not my will moments, when things seem out of control, when God may call you to run towards danger. I mean, we see that in the different situations where there's terrorist activities. There are the ones that run towards the danger, aren't they? That's why I'm telling you, go to the pastor and the police and fire appreciation day. Those are the ones that run this way while everybody else is running that way, right? Go tell them thank you. God, though, may call you to say, I want you to run this way. I want you to run towards the danger. I want you to run towards the need. I want you to go towards that thing that's going to cost you time, emotional energy, finances. You had something else you were going to plan on doing, and God said, I need you over here right now. Not my will, Lord, but yours. Even sometimes if it causes strife with family. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your family. Maybe God's saying you need to love when you're not being loved. Maybe you need to forgive when you're not the one being forgiven. Maybe you're needing to serve when the other will not. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's with a friend. Our prayer is for the grace and the power to love when fear says, run the other way. And God gives that to you. He said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm going to walk with you. Take my hand. I'm going to walk with you. That's God's picture to us. It's available to every one of us as followers of Christ, as believers. And he may not take that problem away, but he's promised he'll walk with you through it. And that picture of love, now, okay, God, you're doing that with me. Now, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that with somebody else. Love, and say, I will not fear, but I'll walk alongside somebody else in the same way that God walks alongside me. And God will use that in a powerful, powerful way. Well, we're going to close in prayer because it's time for us to go gather at the park. Let's just take a minute and pray, and we're just going to I'm just going to give you a half a minute of silence for you to just, whatever fear might be on your mind, whatever it might be, to just lift it up to God and say, Lord, thank you for walking with me through this. Help me to walk with somebody else through theirs as well. Just take a half a minute and lift up that fear that's on your mind to your Father God. thank you, Father, for being our good, good, perfect Father. You take hold of our right hand and you just lead us. You don't leave us. You promise you'd never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Thank you for walking with us and giving us reason to know that we don't have to fear. Even in the fearful times, Lord God, you're with us. And thank you that you're going to give us the grace and the power to love others who need somebody to walk alongside them, just as you do to us. So bless us as we go, Lord, today. Give us a great time of fellowship, and playing some games and eating some food, sharing around the table. Make it a great day. And Lord, as this week unfolds, Lord, thank you for reminding us often that we just need hold up, put out our hand and say, Lord, would you take me through this? And you'll be faithful to do that. Thank you, Lord. We pray this, and we love you today. Love you for all that you've done and are going to do for us. We pray it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen.